Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Scammy County Sheriff Chip Simmons with an update about an investigation that first took place on April the 27th. On that date, Denisha Blunt brought a three-year-old into a local medical facility for treatment. When the staff got suspicious of the injuries, she took off with the child. Fortunately, we were able to stop that car a short time later, arrest Ms. Blunt, and get the child the treatment that he needed. We also launched a rather extensive investigation.
All right, this is obviously Chip Simmons talking yesterday during a video he posted about the child abuse event, incident, story, whatever you want to call it. The same one, by the way, that has involved a corrections officer from Santa Rosa County that you heard the clip from Bob Johnson, who we talked to yesterday about this. Not his employee. He oversees the Santa Rosa County Jail. This was at the state prison. But, you know, the parents, normal guardians, then there's, I guess, I don't know, foster parents or whoever had the temporary care of, maybe it was foster, actually official care for the former CO and also partner. Again, kind of some indeterminacy there. But now you have this case impacting in Escambia County because of where the students were going to get daycare services.
As part of that investigation, we found out that the three-year-old and a one-year-old both attended Children's Point Learning Academy. We also spoke to the director of that academy, Tanisha Woods. What we found out was that on three different occasions, there was abuse suspected. It was documented and even photographed. Unfortunately, Ms. Woods did not report this abuse or the suspected abuse to the DCF hotline, as required by law. So she's now being charged with a felony, which is failure to report child abuse.
So you have the abuse, and then you have the arrest related to the abuse, and then you have the arrest related to the failure to report the abuse, because anybody who's in charge of childcare, educator, doctors are part of this. Anybody who's daycare worker, whatever, those folks are mandatory reports with their name because it's a part of their professional obligation. And if you suspect there's child abuse, and in this case, he says that they had actually documented the child abuse. What in the world were they doing not reporting it if they documented it? That's unbelievably baffling to me because they knew enough to see it and to document it, and then they did nothing? What the hell? I don't even understand how that happens, but we'll talk to Chip about that this morning at 7:40.
I also want to take this time to remind you that in the state of Florida, anyone over the age of 18 is what we call a mandatory reporter. That means if you're over 18 and you suspect child abuse, you have got to report to the hotline, even if it's anonymous. And if you're in certain fields, like a daycare worker, you cannot do so anonymously. You have to make the report and give your name.
Now, I find that interesting because I'll tell you, I didn't know that everybody was a mandatory report. John, did you know that every adult was a mandatory report?
No, I just thought it was like child care or
people
teachers.
People who worked in these professions, right?
Right.
Like, you know, kind of like if you're if your client in counseling tells you that they're going to commit a crime, somebody's in danger, you're obligated to report that. Normally, you can't say anything because of, client-patient confidentiality, but there are certain circumstances where you are. Same thing. I'll follow up with him this morning because, honestly, I did not know that was the case. I didn't bother to go looking it up. I should have. I know Chip knows the law better than I do. But it strikes me as odd that so many people could not know that. It'd be like, I mean, it's as if, you suddenly discover that, if you run into a pedestrian, you have to stay at the scene,
What? you do?
But, I mean, imagine that nobody knew that was the case. You could just bump somebody and move along home, right? But
don't you do?
No. Okay. So, anyway, we'll find out more. But this is such a crazy story with so many different people who have done so many different wrong things. And, it's horrible, tragic, and sad. Meanwhile, good news. Keila Richardson last night sings Ike and Tina Turner, River Deep Mountain High. right from the beginning, looking good in that red dress and dancing with the backup dancers. And who was, I think it was Paula Abdul was, maybe, I don't remember if it was her, but the other one of those was saying, you know, hey, you know, you look good with somebody dancing behind you. And, you know, Luke Bryan's like, I can't even tell what else is going on the stage but you. They're like, you want a minute, Luke? Anyway, because... No, she looked great. I mean, she was very captivating. And then the second song was Stevie Wonder, Living for the City, duet with Taylor Hicks, who was the American Idol winner in 2008, I think, who's quite a capable singer. And she acknowledges she'd never heard the song. In hard time, Mississippi, surrounded by she did great in the beginning, and then it was sort of a duet, back and forth. Again, great stuff. It was a little bit longer. The first one was 2 minutes, second one was 3 minutes long, so she did excellent. It was kind of funny when Randy Jackson was the, you know, consultant on the songs. Have you seen Randy Jackson lately? Go look,
no.
Go look up Randy Jackson 2026, and... just and get a picture, and I'll wait for you to look that up. Randy has aged a little bit. I'll just say it that way. He was, yeah, right? Kind of.
Oh. Hey, buddy.
I know. Doing okay?
Yeah. Are you sick?
I don't know what's going on with him. Anyway, so she sings the two songs, and then it's, all right, you're going to laugh at me, but this is how little I know about American Idol these days. We watch a lot of reality shows, but not the singing shows and not Survivor, like, you know, America's Got Talent, stuff like that.
I can't believe you don't watch Survivor.
Oh, I hate
Dude,
that show.
Dude, this season is so good.
No, I'm never, ever watch. Or The Bachelorette. When I say we watch a lot, we watch the shows that are, like, performance-oriented, dancing, comedy, magic, that kind of stuff. But, you know, the
Big
singing
Brother,
show, we don't watch those kind of the drama and sex off screen or on screen shows. No, it's not. I'm not into that. I watched the first couple seasons of Big Brother. We watched the first couple seasons of Survivor. No, thank you. but what was interesting to me is I didn't realize the current format. And I was watching this. I had already taped it. I was watching it or recorded it. Sorry, I'm not that old. Taped it. I had recorded it. I was watching it like 10 o'clock. I'd gotten done with the rest of my show prep last night, and I was sitting down to watch Idol. And I went to vote, and I couldn't vote. It was closed because they vote during the show. It's actually kind of brilliant. And you get instant results. I had, whatever reason, I had thought that the results at the end of the show had been the tally of the votes that had come in the prior week. But there were instant results for that night's performances. So you vote during the show as it's happening. Again, I know if you watch the show, you think, how could you not know that? Well, I didn't. So there you go. And so I went to vote. I'm like, I get blocked out. No. But it's genius to get people to watch the show live in an era where everybody watches things on their DVR because you cannot vote unless you vote during the program, which I thought was good. So I was not able to vote for her for top three. So if she had not made top three, we don't have a concert on Wednesday. And if she did make top three, then we do have a concert and a parade on Wednesday.
Returning home for a once in a lifetime hometown hero celebration is Miss Pensacola.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know, she's in it. So the parade is on, the concert's on, everything's on. If you don't have tickets, I think there's still tickets for the Wahoos, the inside the stadium. But you can just, there's going to be an area for media, so I don't have to go through this. But my plan had been just to go outside, you know, to go walk up and get as close as I could get. I mean, it's a wide open backyard, so you can't get inside the perimeter, but you can get pretty close is what I figure. So anybody who wants to go can watch. It should be a great concert. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Olé.
We're all Mexican today. Or something. I don't know.
And it's even Taco Tuesday.
It's. I know. It's like lunar blood moon eclipse. you know, on some special day. I don't know.
Wrapped in one.
Yeah. It's when you have. Do you get extra special bonuses on Cinco de Mayo when it's on Taco Tuesday? And the answer is not really. Although I think I read that at Chipotle you can get a free guac in your mobile order or something, maybe. And, I mean, free guac at, like, Chipotle is, I mean, that's a, what, a $43 value, right? So
I was saying 65, but you're good. You're closer.
It's made with truffle oil and the
the purest avocados.
The shavings of Himalayan mountain turtles. You know, it's like,
it. You know, when you go to Chipotle, which I love Chipotle, but when you go to Chipotle, they're like, do you want guacamole? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you have, you know, how many years of a loan are you offering? It's just the extra. Well, here's your one side scoop of guacamole. And it is. It's like $2.50 or $3, right? I mean, it's crazy.
Tied into my home loan.
Half the price of the burrito. All right, 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are needing a roof, and look, I know, and they know, we all understand that you don't get up in the morning. Like, you're not thinking to yourself at 5:20 in the morning, you know what I would like to do with my money today? I would like to get a roof. I mean, nobody's, it's not on your wish list. It's not on your dream list. Nobody's writing to Santa, get me a new roof. Well, maybe, because then he pays for it. But, you know, roofs are expensive. They are. And it's annoying that with insurance rules these days, you have to replace them more frequently than you should have to in Florida. I know, but this is the world we live in. So if you need a repair or a replacement or something in between and you're not sure which it is, call Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward understands. His folks understand. They will talk to you like real people. They will not talk down to you. They will not assume you know everything or make fun of you if you don't. You know, they understand. They've been doing roofs here in Pensacola since 2006, 20 years, 10,000 roofs, and a 4.9 rating on Google. That's amazing. 4.9 rating is just, I mean, it's amazing. They serve the local community through our gateway and local youth sports, and they were doing financial literacy education in Santa Rosa County, just all kinds of stuff like that, trying to help the community be good people. They've got a lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs. And listen, when I was first approached by, about doing advertising for them, I'm like, what do I know about roofs? You know, and I asked my wife, who knows a lot of things I don't know, and she says, I'll tell you what I do know is on Nextdoor, people are always asking for referrals for various services, right? And when it comes to people asking for roofs, they are always on the list. There's usually two or three, and they are always on this list of things, of places people recommend. I had a friend just got a roof with them because I advertised for them. And she's like, they did great. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. That's what I hope for when I hire a contractor. 777-0961, qualityroofingsolutions.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-2013 or biglou.com.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love you. I really love you.
Ditto.
Cinco de Mayo, so I'm playing artists who are in Spanish. It's Bad Bunny. I mean, I know he's not Mexican, but it's as close as I can get.
Oh, I was waiting for the mariachi band.
I'll get some of that in as
okay,
well.
Good.
I mean, it's... I thought Bad Bunny was an American. Yeah, but I don't have a lot of Mexico bumper music.
And it always feels a little bit weird to sit and do like, oh, Mexico. Like, I don't know. It seems odd, too. So there's just no winning with you people. 525 on News Radio 92.3. File this in the category of things that are going to be of no use to me in my life, but maybe it'll be useful to you. You ready?
No.
What's Tuesday? I'm Pep Talk.
All I think about is Taco Tuesday.
Pep Talk with Meg. What? Who's on Tuesday?
The garden show.
There you go. It's the Garden Line with Mayor Mike Wiggins, right?
Right.
Well, here's news. Gardening is healthy for you.
What?
Yeah. I was reading an article yesterday, the 7 unexpected perks of gardening that can add years to your life at realsimple.com. And essentially, there's various studies that have been done. Australian researchers followed men and women in their 60s and found that those who regularly gardened had a 36% lower risk of dementia than their non-gardening counterparts. Now, there's always the question of cause, effect, and correlation, right? Does doing gardening reduce your chances of dementia if you weren't otherwise going to garden? Or are the kind of people who are at a lower chance of dementia the kind of people who are gardening? You follow? It's hard to know for sure whether if you're just heading off in life and you don't really want to garden and you say, well, but to fight dementia, I'll do it. You know, maybe you're still the kind of person that doesn't like to garden. Therefore, you're still the kind of person that's prone to get dementia more often. You can't fake it by, you know, pretending to be a gardener. Another study, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying, I don't know. The 2024 Journal of Affective Disorders noted that gardening was associated with a 42% lower likelihood of experiencing sleep issues. So garden hard, sleep well, I guess. Gardening boosts mental health by reducing stress levels and symptoms of depression. It improves your mood. It's a self-care issue, fosters a sense of pride, connects you to nature, gets you moving, stretching, sitting awkwardly.
So let me get this right.
Well, not done yet.
Okay.
Hold your question. All right. Hold your fire. Improves nutrition, I guess, because you're gardening, you know, nutrient-dense foods and better foods. Boosts your immunity because you're playing in the dirt all day long, like we tell our kids. Now, go ahead, John.
So getting dirty.
Yep.
And sweating to death in the hot heat.
There you go. Playing in the mud, bending over, flexing, stretching, sitting.
Muscles
stung.
You don't use. Yeah,
that's right. That's true.
Fire ants.
I mean, all that in Florida.
Oh, that makes you better, huh?
What they say. So if you like to garden, now you have good justifications for why your gardening is good for you. If you're Andrew McKay.
or John Pickens.
What you think through is, well, last time I tried gardening, here's what I experienced. Pain, heat, sweat, dirt, frustration because everything died. And then the ones that did survive got eaten by the squirrels and you know, the caterpillars. And in the end, I got like 3 misshapen, shrunken little pieces of asparagus out of the deal.
That you were scared to eat.
Yeah, that I was scared to eat because I didn't know what happened. So, yeah, improves your mood, acts as self-care, fosters a sense of pride. Mex stresses me out. I mean, seriously, we in our backyard, listen, we have we have 2 apple trees, we have a Granny Smith and a Pink Lady, and then we have a peach tree, and then we have a little blueberry bush. These trees have never yet produced a damn thing. And and we've had them for like 7 years. I mean, it's not a thing. And we even bought the, like, you're supposed to have different kinds of apples because the bees need different ones to cross-pollinate. That's how it works, apparently. I don't know. And the blueberry brush, bless its heart, you know, all it does is produce, you know, 8 berries that the squirrels eat. So it's annoying. And I'm sorry. I love Ryan Jenkins. I am glad he does what he does. I appreciate people who farm or garden. It never is going to be my thing. Not ever. I have tried. I've grown tomatoes. I've grown, you know, zucchini, you know, and then you get what? Like 400 pounds of zucchini during 1 week in like July, not in June, not in August. And what am I going to do with all that? You know, it just.
You might want to stick around for today's show.
Yeah, right. And, yeah. Now, look.
You got questions.
And I get the, like, stretching activity. And I'm sure for the dementia actually makes sense because you're focused and you're attentive and you're following details and you're, you know, solving problems and you're doing. These are all good mental health things. I just do not ever. I mean, I have seen myself garden, and I will never see myself garden again. I know what's going to happen here. David Wayne's got your local news coming up next, right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Officials telling Fox News the U.S. is close to resuming combat operations in Iran. Right now, the ceasefire is shaky at best.
U.S. says it has enhanced the security area in trying to move ships out of the Strait of Hormuz. Yesterday, the U.S. says that the military sank six small Iranian boats that were trying to target civilian vessels. The U.S. military says two American-flagged merchant ships successfully crossed this critical waterway yesterday.
Fox's Alex Hogan reporting a federal judge apologizes to the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting suspect over the conditions at the jail where he's being held. U.S. Attorney for D.C. Jeanine Pirro slamming the judge, saying on social media the judge believes a defendant armed to the teeth and attempting to assassinate the president is entitled to preferential treatment in his confinement compared to every other defendant. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 48 degrees with clear skies around the area. We'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola International Airport is moving to quickly fill the void left by Spirit Airlines' abrupt shutdown over the weekend. Spirit accounted for about 7% of seats flying in and out of Pensacola. Airport Director Matt Coughlin tells Channel 3 that Breeze and Frontier have both stepped in to cover some of Spirit's routes. Pensacola still has seven other airlines to choose from. Coughlin says passenger growth at the airport is still ahead of last year, and that's despite losing Spirit. Of course, yesterday we heard about a Chicago woman whose luggage was trapped in Spirit's locked Pensacola office, and she's now been contacted by airport staff who are working to get that back to her. There's a Pensacola resident pushing city officials to bring back a gun buyback program. This would be the first time since 2021, and the last event ended after $10,000 in funding ran out for that program. Pensacola Police Chief Eric Winstrom talked to Channel 3. He says research on just how effective gun buybacks are is mixed, but he does see some value in the concept.
If you want to talk about crime statistics, I don't know that it's back and forth of how effective gun buyback programs are to reducing crime. However, if you're talking about a good reminder to people to safely secure your weapons. And if you do have a firearm that's not secured, that maybe was left to you by a relative, if you're not into gun safety, maybe it is time to consider turning that over, and this would be a very good way to do that.
And a city council member or the mayor would have to sponsor the event before it could be voted on by the council, and public comment being sought at next Thursday's city council meeting. Well, Pensacola's throwing a party this week for Keela Richardson, who earned her spot in the top three on American Idol last night. She performed Ike and Tina Turner's River Deep Mountain High, and Stevie Wonder's Living for the City. So now Wednesday, Keela Fest is on. A parade along South Palafox kicks off around 4 p.m. That'll be followed by the big free concert at the Hunter Amphitheater behind Wahoo Stadium, overflow seating inside Wahoo Stadium, and that'll be broadcast on the jumbo screen there in the baseball field. And the concert also will have American Idol cameras on hand. They'll be all around the area, filming in Pensacola and around the area. It's 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Well, make sure you're turning off your outdoor lights. That'll help reduce the amount of termites swarming around your home.
Be patient. The swarming termites are here. Residents are being asked to turn off those outdoor lights at night as heat and moisture drive a spike in termite activity. P&J's reporting for Mosin termites, the most destructive species, can eat through wood faster than others. Officials say a swarm doesn't always mean infestation, but scheduling an annual inspection is a pretty good idea. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And right now we've got 48 degrees with clear skies. Let's get a look at our forecast with Channel 3 meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have mostly sunny skies today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. For Thursday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 48 degrees, your next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. UPMC said it has reached a definitive agreement to take over Trinity Health System, a four-hospital network in Ohio that it's been eyeing since at least last year. The deal is expected to close this fall, pending regulatory reviews. UPMC declined to share financial terms. Andy Jassy said on CNBC that Amazon's massive spending on artificial intelligence is not something investors should fear. It's exactly why they will be rewarded over time. In February, Amazon announced plans to invest $200 billion this year in capital expenditures, largely tied to AI infrastructure. OpenAI sales leader James Dyett has announced he is leaving his role. Dyett joined OpenAI in 2023, right as the company underwent a period of explosive growth following the launch of its ChatGPT chatbot. Dyett said he is moving to a new role at the venture capital firm Thrive Capital, where he will serve as an operator in residence. Futures are slightly higher as Wall Street eyes the latest developments in the Middle East. That's Your Money Now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at floridawesteda.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Clay decision, and it provided the justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Florida, Northwest Florida District 1, and he joins us typically every Monday at about this time. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So, Lots of big things to get to. Let's talk first about the shutdown being over. It's as many times as I've read the reports, it's still not 100% clear to me, and maybe that's my stupidity, but what has and has not been funded? Where are we really at?
So essentially, everything's been funded through the end of President Trump's term. Customs and Border Patrol will have to be funded through what's called reconciliation. The request that the Democrats are making in order to get them to work with us on funding the government, they're not reasonable. They use this as a talking point with their base in order to raise money. So that element of Homeland Security will be funded through what's called reconciliation. And we'll have that wrapped up before June 1. I think there's a deadline there too.
Okay. So everything except CBP is funded through the end of the administration. What did they get? I mean, how can they, what is the win here for the Democrats, if anything?
Well, I think what they get is we presented something less. The Senate actually presented something less Customs and Border Patrol. So, you know, so all these other elements of government that they don't have the ability to monetize for themselves in a political sense, they're okay with. But that's the one there that plays well with their base, and so they concede on all these others. There was Mark Wayne Mullen, the Homeland Security Secretary, was on TV this week, and he said that Schumer said, look, he says, we'll fund everything after the primary election's over. I've got to get past all this with my candidates. So, I mean, it becomes very political for them in order to win their primary elections for their base.
And am I right? Tell me if I'm wrong about this. I thought that Democrats wanted to zero budget ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. Like, they wanted to eliminate that budget entirely so that we could not have immigration or border protection. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's right now where they do not have money to operate. We funded some of it through the One Big Beautiful Bill, but you've got the support personnel of ICE and Border Patrol that are not funded. And how that was not done, I have no idea. You would think if you're funding an agency through this date, that means you're funding every element of that agency. I've still yet to get the full explanation on that.
60 days has passed. I think we're on day 64 or 65 now with the war in Iraq. Not a war in Iraq has not been declared. Iran, excuse me. Pfft, what's wrong with me?
Right.
But the president is saying that the war is over because we're in a ceasefire. That seems thin to the point of nonsense to me. But the House would have to take up a war powers vote, which, I mean, I've always supported. I think if you're going to be engaged in a war, you should have it declared or not. That's why the law exists. But the Congress isn't willing to do this.
So the president made a comment the other day where, you know, he has ceased operations. And then he alluded to, you know, now the clock has been reset. So there may be an interpretation that the administration's got that if they needed to ramp back operations in a week or 2 weeks or something, then that could be the case. But the president has lost, he has lost interest in sending our negotiators to Pakistan anymore. It's a waste of time, but also you got to figure out who the heck is even in the capacity to make a decision. But the president is flying next week to China. They've actually been sent over a lot of support staff to anticipate that. I'm sure that is going to have a different type of outside influence on Iran turning the corner and having an understanding of who can actually make a decision in that regime.
All of that I understand, sympathize with, but still that, like, we're going to go 60 days on, take a week off, 60 days on, take a week. I mean, that would be perpetual warfare without a war powers declaration, right? That, like, that can't,
yeah,
be.
I mean, it's skirting around if that is the case.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have not seen a written statement out of the White House other than, but sometimes when the president makes a statement, sometimes it can be taken literally and sometimes it's
yeah,
you know, figuratively so.
Congressman NES Pensacola announced, I think it was on Saturday, that we are now back to regular visitation. I assume this means people will not have to go through the front gate to the visitor control center just to visit the museum, the lighthouse, and so forth. They can see Blue Angels practices, 9 to 3 access with a, you know, real ID or a passport through the west gate. This has been, every time the base shuts down for some reason, it's always a big adversity, but this is good news, right?
Yeah, I'm so glad. I was scrolling through my social media this morning, and I saw where the museum has already posted their operation instructions and everything. So it's such a national treasure, and it's just important to be able to allow people to enjoy it.
And such a, you know, it's a tourism generator for us. It's obviously, you know, I know the base has wanted to just, you know, when you're in a war and then you've had incursions and, you know, everybody's trying to adapt to the regulations that Big Navy puts down on, you know, that everybody's trying to do the right thing. And mission is first, obviously. But, you know, here in Pensacola, we like to be mission first. But don't forget about the public access. You know, it's really important.
Well, and again, there's been some flare-ups that just still people create some heightened sensitivity to. And I can respect that.
There was obviously the other sort of big news over the weekend was the collapse of Spirit Airlines. And, you know, I'm old enough where I should remember this better, but I don't remember an airline going away that was of the stature. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's the budget airline, okay? But of a Spirit where it's been beleaguered, but where you just show up at the airport and you can't take your flights anymore. Like, there had always, it seems to me, has been transition, ownership, people take over routes, or there's early warning, so that problem of showing up and the planes just aren't running. I don't remember that happening before. And you sit on the, Transportation and Infrastructure Committee in the House, right?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, we were talking a little pre-show, you know, I think probably the last one of the highest profile would have been Eastern Airlines. But, you know, Eastern has significant presence as their hub was out of Miami. And so they had a presence all throughout the United States and also in Northwest Florida. But Spirit, really similar, I mean, has a presence at PNS. You know, that flight to Fort Lauderdale, and it was good. I've taken it before. But I tell you, where we're going to really feel it is when you lose a budget airline, it really is checks and balances for all the legacy carriers. So now you have lost that budget airline that keeps those other guys, keep their prices in check. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. I mean, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. There was a potential merger a few years ago, which would have potentially been good with JetBlue and Spirit. But that didn't get approved by the regulators of the Biden administration.
Yeah, and of course, the Spirit has apparently claimed that a lot of this was due to the rise in price of jet fuel, which, of course, is connected to the war in Iran. So, you know, we'll see how everybody else deals with this, like you say, when the cheap housing isn't keeping down the price of housing. Well, guess what? The price of housing goes up. Well, when the cheap airlines aren't there to keep everybody else in check, you know, because they can't compete away their business, right? That's a problem. Supreme Court last week, two big developments with redistricting. Number one, in Florida, the Senate and the House passed the map that Governor DeSantis put in that's going to cut most likely outcome. It's obviously you have to actually have the election. Four House seats for the Democrats, and they're screaming. Other people are screaming about the race issue. The Supreme Court hands down the ruling that says you really can't consider race as the basis right of your districts unless you're considering it to remedy past racial injustice. They struck down the Louisiana districts. Alabama's asking for an expedited review. We have already eliminated ours here in the state of Florida. You're in Congress. This is people who you work with who are affected by this. What's your read on this situation?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, once redistricting started ramping up from state to state to state, Democratic-controlled states were going to react, as we're seeing it in Virginia, where Virginia was really a good mix of what the state's voter mix is, and now it's proposed to be a 10-1, 10 Democrats to one member of Congress, where it used to be, I think, a 6-5. So, I mean, this is going to be something that's going to be all over the country, if timing permits, with qualifying and primary elections. So some states will do it, some won't. And in the case of Florida, I do think that the governor was wanting to see what the full outcome of Virginia was, as this was something he'd already expressed he was wanting to do. But you've also got to negotiate with the legislature and want to bring them in to do this. So, the potential maps, it doesn't change Northwest Florida. It's just those Central Florida and Southeast Florida districts.
You know, what I said about this on the air was the maps in Florida particularly. I hate that it's rushed. I don't like political gerrymandering. I really find that obnoxious and wicked. I don't like anything about this. I like the principle of not focusing on race. I do like that. But I would probably vote against these maps, except that we live in a world where I look at like New England, you know, and Delaware and Vermont and Maine and Massachusetts, and you're telling me there's no Republicans up there at all? They have 100% blue representation. Yeah. And, you know, and I've lived in Illinois, and you can watch the Illinois map, and it's obvious that so many states have done redistricting in an incredibly partisan way. And you're asking me to just ignore that reality here in Florida? Like, that doesn't seem fair either.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and look, I care about what's happening in Florida, you know, so we don't get as fixated on an Illinois. Illinois is a poster child for bad behavior. So go look at the Illinois maps and look at some of those corkscrew districts they have up there in order to ensure that there's no Republican representation. So, I mean, unfortunately, this is just now becoming the norm as more states are going to be. And like some states, like in the case of Florida, there's constitutional amendments that give parameters on what a district can look like. So, you know, the Florida map has to be respect for own state constitution on how those districts are going to be drawn.
Do you think that fair district amendment, I mean, DeSantis' interpretation is that because the Supreme Court struck down the racial component, that all of the fair districting amendment goes away and the limits against political gerrymandering have also gone away. Do you read it that way? Or do you think that, and Don Gates has said he would like to, he'll vote to put that stuff back in the state constitution, at least. You know, you can't put the race stuff back in, but you can definitely put the political part back in.
Well, the fair district, I think, is reasonable. You know, you try to keep counties intact. You try to use natural boundaries. Mm-hmm. You're sensitive of municipalities, of trying to, you know, so I think that's reasonable to have an expectation that that's what your district should look like. If you look across the state of Florida, in my opinion, I think fair districts is really being observed in an appropriate way, in a constitutional way. But again, I think there's those out there that do not, they feel like it's the will of the legislature to draw the maps. Let the legislature draw the maps. If you don't like the way the legislature draws the maps, then vote your legislators out.
Yeah, and I'm with you. This to me is one more example of, I kind of wish Florida would just can everybody just do it our way? If you do it our way, run elections our way, we have results by the night, at worst the next day, you know, draw your districts fairly, and then we can eliminate some of this craziness around the country. Good.
We weren't always that way. We had to learn our lessons order to get there. So
I think 2020 was a pretty watershed moment for our state.
Amen.
Hey, last thing. I don't know if you – I just thought it was interesting. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but Australia, I guess, is on the verge of – taxing, like a journalism tax, 2.5%, I think, of all revenue for Meta, Google, and TikTok in order to basically redistribute money towards news organizations because TikTok, Google, and Meta use that content all the time for no compensation. And they had a law related to this, and a lot of that stuff has gone away as well. I know you're very into social media and finding, you know, ways to do it more appropriately. Does that model... I mean, is there anything about that model that appeals to you in this country for benefiting journalism?
So I've got friends that are still in the newspaper business. They own newspapers, and they are critical that they need to get a fee from the social media companies because these guys are creating the content. And it's the same thing I asked Sam Altman. I said, you get a business model that it works because you scrape the internet for information.
Yep.
You're having more and more of these recipe websites that are putting their recipes behind paywalls because people go to ChatGPT and ask, give me a great recipe for, you know, butterfly shrimp fried, you know? And so, you know, you'll get those recipes now behind a paywall. This is unfortunately one of the ways that they are going to have to do business because ChatGPT currently doesn't invent recipes, but they need them in order to keep their consumer happy.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario. On the one hand, we've all gotten used to everything being free, and we whine every time there's a paywall for a news organization, and yet we want news organizations, you know? Somehow they have to be able to generate revenue. And as you say, particularly Google has become the most obnoxious with this, where they'll give you the AI summary that doesn't even send you to the link. You don't get the ad revenue or the click-through. It's crazy.
I click the reader a lot on the top of the search engine bar.
there you go. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida, Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to talking again next week.
Take care. Thank you.
Most definitely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a project to work on at your house, or your project is your house, I mean, you might be building one, Pensacola Hardware, they're your place. And, you know, it's easy to talk about them. They have been around since 1851, which is a crazy thing. 175 years. Like, they're older than the Civil War. They're older than Levi's. They are the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, which means that if you walk around town and you see a building, you know, you see a building that's 50 years old, there's a pretty good chance they had a hand in that. You see a building that's 100 years old, almost certainly. You see a building that's 150 years old, I mean, who else? Right? That's the point. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 175 years this year. Now, why? Because they believe in good products. They believe in fair prices. They don't believe in the cheap crap. I mean, they believe in good stuff, okay? So you might pay a little bit more, but, you know, a hammer that might cost a little bit more but lasts you three times as long, which is the better value, you know? Or when it comes to things that you just can't get anywhere else, what do you get at Pensacola Hardware? Not just the thing, but you get the guidance on how to use it. They know. They have the institutional knowledge. I mean, ask them. Ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and say, hey, how do I use this? And chances are, if they're not sure that you do know how to use it properly, because some things they, you know, they sell, you got to know how to use properly or it can be dangerous, they'll just check with you because they care. They want to make sure you get the end result right. And it's just a great place, great people, been here forever, helping people do the things they need to do around their home or on their home. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. So to celebrate America's 250th, drink in the fireworks, share bubbly hellos, and embrace every fizzy feeling. But the refreshing taste of an American classic. This summer, pick up a Coca-Cola at your favorite retailer. Happy 250th birthday, America. Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
I don't understand. He say you're not allowed to smash piñatas that look like real people. But we do it in Mexico all the time.
Good food plans for today, John?
I don't, but I do now.
You gonna go Taco Tuesday? You gonna go eat out? You gonna go to LS or something like that, or Papa's or something? All right, or Mama's, I guess it's now. Yeah, I'm making El Pastor tacos for the first time, so we'll see how that turns out.
I'm sure coming to your house.
No, we
don't. I know where you live. Knock
knock.
Are you
threatening me? After my tacos, you may need TP for your bunghole. I don't know. We're just a couple of Gen X kids trying to do a radio show. Man, I got no time to do anything now. McDonald's is getting rid of the in-store drink refills for yourself.
What?
Oh, yeah, the new stores.
That's why I always get a small.
If you've no, you can still get refills, but you just have to, you know, beg for. I ask for them at the counter. Please, sir, may I have another? You know, can you put it with like a tenth
Local
Sprite?
Talk in the morning.